image, there is a story in the Old Testament. You remember when Saul sent his servants to get David? He was going to kill him. David's wife helped David escape and put an image in David's bed. Made it look like it was David. And she told him he's sick. Well, the message went back to Saul. He said, well, go get him in his bed. Bring him here. Now's a good time. Well, when they pulled the cover back, there was nothing but an image. David was gone. I wonder how many times we come to church and all we're doing is trying to keep our image right. You know, I'm supposed to clap my hands. I'm supposed to lift my hands. And we don't want to let down on our image. So we go through it and we're like the Bible said, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. David was way out yonder somewhere. That was just an image. Have you ever come to church and all that was there was just your image? I don't think that's it tonight. I feel like there is something coming from the real us. And I like it. I like it. Well, it's so good to be here. Now, I'm beginning to feel at home with you folks. And I hope you're beginning to feel at home with me. You know, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. So let's don't even act like you've never seen me before. How many of you know me? Anybody here? Anybody? There's one that knows me. Who is that? I'll tell you what we'll do. Brother Shirley has already told you my name. David Hodge. I was born and raised in Jackson, Mississippi. And evangelized for several years. Pastoring in Savannah for 6.5 years. I am 25 years old. Plus. It's none of your business what the plus is. I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy roller, born-again, heaven-bound believer in the power of Jesus' name. I believe you need to repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I believe in a life of holiness, purity, separation from the world. Now, you know me. Now, I'd like to know you. We don't have time for all of you to introduce yourself individually, so why don't everybody tell me your name at one time? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Some of you are ashamed of your name. Let's try it again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Glad to meet you. So, I want the Lord to talk to us. I'm happy to be here with Brother Shirley, one of our dear friends. I want you to know when we heard that Brother Shirley was leaving Augusta, Georgia, coming to Louisiana, our feathers dropped. We lost, but you gained. And I really mean that. We learned to love and appreciate Brother Shirley. He did a great work in Augusta. Left a beautiful church. And it really had something going. A great thing built. And we were all shocked whenever we heard that he was leaving. But the will of God is the most important thing in the world. We hated that he left us. But it's good to know that I'm still his friend. And he invited me to come over here and preach. Now that's my friend. Even without my wife, that's a real friend. I do feel kind of lost without her. Just hang around. And when I point at you, that means I'm not rebuking you. That means go to the organ, okay? Piano. Well, praise God. We have enjoyed today being with Brother Shirty, Brother Kelly. We've had a great time. Enjoyed a fine meal. Brother Shirty didn't cook it. He took me out. And then to come here in this beautiful, beautiful building. But I want you to know it could be the most beautiful building in the world. But if it didn't have a bunch of people with beautiful spirits, it wouldn't be too much to me. And the Spirit of the Lord is what makes all the difference. Things that we can't do, you know, we try, we sing. Hey, that was good singing. Man, where's he at? There he is. I looked out here, you know, and I wasn't going to say that. I'm trying to get on the good side of everybody. Oh, but that was so good. I appreciate that song. It kind of goes along with what I'm going to preach here tonight. I've heard my mother testify. She'd stand and say, I started out many years ago to make heaven my home. By the help of the Lord, I mean to make it all the way. I've heard her testify and say that so many times. And she means it. And she put something in me, a desire to make it. I received the Holy Ghost about 20 years ago. And I want you to know I have a greater desire today to make it than I had 20 years ago. And by the help of God, I'm going to make it. There's so many things that a preacher wants to preach when he goes to a new place. You know, the Bible is so full. One of the hardest things for a preacher to do is to say, what can I preach? And he has to be careful because once you start preaching, there are so many other sermons that come into your mind. And you don't want to keep the people too long. And so you got to try to narrow it down. Well, you pray for me. I'm not a long-winded preacher. I just preach a long time. I promise you, I will let you go within the next 2 hours. Well, I didn't hear any old me's, so that's a good sign. But I won't keep you long. But I do want to say a few things about your leadership before I go into the Word of God. And he has not asked me to do this. And I don't think that you think that. But I want you to know you have one of the most outstanding preachers, pastors, shepherds that you'll ever find anywhere. I look at what Brother Shirty did in Augusta, and there's so much. Of course, we couldn't do anything like that without good people. I wouldn't be here if it hadn't have been for some good saints. But every church has to have a shepherd. Sheep cannot make it without a shepherd. Don't let this offend you, but this is what they say. Sheep are dumb. Now, without a shepherd, they can't make it. They've got to be led, not driven. And you've got a pastor in this church that I feel has a true heart of a shepherd. Brother Shirdy is a very God-fearing preacher. He's got what he's doing at heart. And I have seen this in the years that I have known him. He's taken all of this to heart. This is his life. And the work of God is something that he loves. And you can see this in the work that he has done. He has built some things in Augusta, not just a building, which the building is so beautiful, but yet he has built some things in those people. And I feel in days and weeks and months to come, you will see that what this man has in his head is so great and so beautiful. I don't know what all he said around here Tuesday night, but I promise you, you haven't heard but a drop in the bucket. And if you will follow this man, follow his leadership, love him, I want you to know there is no telling what's going to happen in this city, in this church. With the spirit that you have here and the glory and the power of God and your worship. And I heard the praying as we came in today. And with a leadership like you have in this church, I'm here to tell you there is no telling what God is going to do for you in this hour. I wanted to preach a message tonight entitled, Would You Rather Have a Wound from a Friend or a Kiss from an Enemy? I believe it's the book of Proverbs that has something to say about that. And the friend that I'm talking about is your pastor. It's one of the greatest friends you'll ever have. Now, we're living in a day of compromise. We're living in a day where you can find a preacher that'll preach to you to the tune of your whistle and pat you on the back just as long as he can get out of you what he can. But I feel like that you have a real friend sitting on this platform who stands behind this pulpit. There are going to be times that he's going to wound you. That's a friend. There are times that a wound from a friend is better than a kiss from an enemy. There are people that will tickle your ears and pat you on the back, and when they get a chance and when they've gotten everything out of you they can get, they'll stick a dagger in you. That's an enemy. And they'll kick you to your face. But brother, when the fire gets hot, they'll walk off and leave you. But a friend will wound you and yet stay there and help you through it all. And I believe you've got a friend sitting on this platform here tonight. There are going to be times he's going to preach some things that's going to cause you to squirm. He's going to preach some things that's going to cause the hair on your head to kind of stick up a little bit. And there are going to be some times he's going to look at you in the eye and say, hey, that's not right. You're wrong. You shouldn't do it. If you'll realize that he's a friend, you'll take it. And you'll be so much better off after a while. But an enemy will compromise and in front of you will smile, speak those nice words, put a kiss upon your cheek. But in his heart, he doesn't have a spirit of a true friend. So the best friend you've got is your pastor. I mean, next to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are going to be times that you're going to be wounded. But it's good for you. Oh, brother, when I was growing up in the church in Jackson, I got some bruises and some cuts. But I look back now and I thank God for every one of them. Every one of them. That's my friend. But I'm not going to preach that tonight. I want to turn your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. Thank you. Now, you are really. That's the way we do it in Savannah. Thank you for standing for the Word of God. Genesis chapter 50, and I want to begin reading at verse 15. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Now notice verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God, everybody say, but God. Meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Then I want to turn your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. And we'll read verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know, everybody say we know. That all things, everybody say all things, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And I want to talk to you tonight, if you want a title for this message, simply, God was in it. God was in it, or God is in control. And if you believe that, say praise the Lord. Brother Shirley, would you pray God's blessings tonight on His Word?
Pastor, we come to you right now.
Praise God.
We ask of you, Lord, to anoint the Word you've given tonight. Anoint for the Hodge, Lord, that He might speak to us.
Praise God.
That it may find its place in our hearts.
Yes.
Not just empty words, but, oh God, that it might be words of challenge.
Hallelujah.
It might be words of instruction that we may hear.
Yes.
And be strengthened, and that we may grow by it and be blessed according to your will.
And everybody said amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't be guilty of shouting over a song if you can't shout over a sermon. You believe that? Oh, is it all right if I just act like I'm in Savannah right now and just preach to you what I feel on my heart to preach? Now, I know that I am not preaching anything new tonight, but John the Baptist, when he was put in prison, he had baptized our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Holding him, putting him down in that water, talking to him. The voice speaking from heaven, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And all of that, when John was put in prison, he sent somebody to ask the Lord, Are you the one? Or should we look for another? And Jesus said, Go tell John again. Blind or seeing, lame or leaping. Something had to be spoken to John again. It was nothing new, but it was something John needed in the hour that he was living in that prison, knowing that death was soon to come to him. Somebody had to come and tell him again. Now, I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I do have a feeling that I'm not going to preach to four walls. I believe that there are people in this building tonight that God wants you to hear some things again. Nothing new, but just to be stirred up in your mind and realize that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Now, Jacob, after having that dream of the ladder reaching from the earth to heaven, angels ascending and descending, the Bible teaches us that when he awoke out of his sleep, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." I wonder how many times things have happened in our lives and problems have come, and we found ourselves in certain situations. And the first thing we wanted to do is say, "It's the devil." But could it be that God was in it and we didn't see Him? I really believe that there are things that happen in our lives that God is in the middle of it, and He is allowing some of these things to happen. Now, with the Apostle Paul, it was a matter of profound conviction. And notice what he said. And we know it was a conviction to him. We know this, that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Now, a lot of folks want to take that scripture and get something out of it that's not there. It does not say that all things work together for good for everybody. There are two conditional clauses here. One is that love God. And number two, that are the called according to His purpose. And if you love God and if you're called according to His purpose, then you can say it. All things work together for good. For him, this conviction rendered complaining unthinkable, since every event of life was either planned or permitted by God. And brother, I am trying my best to get to that place that I can have that kind of conviction. That whatever happens to me is either planned or permitted by God. And when you start looking at it that way, then you can obey the scripture that says, "In all things, give thanks." In all things, that's what it said. You know, have you ever gone through some things it was hard for you to give thanks? But when you understand and you have that conviction that these things that happen to me in life are either planned or permitted by God, then you're able to say it. Now, I want to look in the Bible at some characters that prove what I'm about to preach to you here tonight. And I'm sure that your mind would immediately go to the Old Testament, to the book of Job. This is a man that we have preached about. I preached about him. You've heard many preachers preach about him. But I still get encouraged when I talk about or hear preachers preach about Job. Job was a man just like you and I. He hurt just like you and I. I mean, Job was a man. Yet the Bible speaks of him as a perfect and upright man. Yet Job was just like you and I. And if Job could stay true to God through what he went through, I believe that you and I can make it. But our attitude's got to be right. Now, notice Job. Here he is, everything is going lovely. He's got, as far as materialistic gain is concerned, everything that he needed. He had a bunch of youngins, had a wife, had servants, friends. He had it all. And it seemed that overnight, everything was taken away from him. You read about this in the book of Job. One messenger after another came in and said, "You've lost this." And before this servant could get that out of his mouth, the next servant walks in and says, "Hey, but that's not all. You've lost this." One servant after another, until everything Job had was taken away. Well, what did Job do? Now, to some folks, they would have thrown up their hands and said, "I quit. God has forsaken me. God doesn't love me anymore." Look what he did. The Bible said Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Do you know God's remedy for trials? It's worship. It's worship. I've never solved a problem sitting down worrying about it. When I go to church, I forget about Sears and Roebuck and J.C. Penney's and all of these places that I owe money to. God, I'll take care of that later. I can't pay them here. The electric bill, the gas bill, and the grocery bill and all of that. Come on, leave them outside the door. You come into the house of God, you can find strength and you can find help. Job worshiped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." Now listen, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. To think, a man going through what he was going through, yet he would say, "The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Then in the very next chapter, chapter 2, listen to what his wife is saying now. You know, that little darling that's supposed to stay by your side until death do us part. "Whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." How many of you remember saying that? You don't? Maybe you need to renew your vow. "Yes, sir. I'll stay by his side through sickness, through health, through prosperity, through poverty. I'll stand by it." And here she is saying, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Now, he just lost all of his youngins. He just lost all of his camel, sheep, and all of this stuff. And here comes his wife and said, "If anybody ought to stand by her man, it ought to be her his wife." And she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Some folks would have thrown up their hands really then and said, "Oh, brother, it's all gone now." But listen, he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Through all that Job went through, he kept that feeling in his heart. Something it's got to. I've got to learn something out of this. I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't understand why I'm going through this. But you don't find him giving the credit to the devil. Listen to him in Job chapter 13 and verse 15. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." Now, We could understand it if Job said, though the devil slays me, yet I'm going to serve God. But that's not what he said. He said, though God slay me, yet I will trust him. Now God, you can take everything I got. You can bring all these things on me. You can kill me, but I'm still going to trust you. Oh, what an attitude that he had. What a conviction that this man Job had. Listen to what he had to say in Job chapter 19, verse 23 through 27. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know. Everybody say, I know. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. Here is a man that lost everything that he had. Now his friends, so called, are staring at him and accusing him of everything in the book. Through all of this, he says, I know my Redeemer liveth. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, the end of the story goes like this. And when Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Twice as much. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. I'm here to tell you, friend, it pays to have a conviction. All things work together for good. I don't understand it all. It all looks dark to me right now. But I've got a conviction that all things are working together for good. Oh, he did not attribute these afflictions to blind chance or even to satanic agency. Sometimes we get so devil conscious that we can't be God conscious. We come to church and the microphone won't work and we say it's the devil. The song leader starts out in the wrong key and we say, "Wow, the devil's in this place tonight." Oh, you know, we're tired and we don't feel too good. And we say, oh, the devil's got this thing bound. I mean, did he give us a promise he'd go to church every time we go? I mean, the devil, did he promise you he'd go to church with you? Huh? You know, I mean, Brother Shirley, is there a scripture that says the devil is going to church? If you gather together, I'm going to be there. Now, come on, is it in the book? But, oh, there's a lot of us that believe it. But I do have a promise from the Lord. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm going to be there in the midst of them. Oh, I'm here to tell you, I came in Jesus' name tonight. Brother Shirley came in Jesus' name tonight. Brother Kelly came in Jesus' name tonight. That's all we need. You hear me? You may not have come in Jesus' name, but I know the Lord's here because I know three of us that have. And he said, where two or three are gathered in his name, I'll be there. How many of you came in Jesus' name? Woo! I know he's here. I know he's here. Oh, we get so devil conscious that we forget God's already given us a promise. Why can't we be more God conscious? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have a struggle and you're not going to have to fight through your carnal mind and the things of the day. Oh, yeah, there are struggles sometimes. But don't be so devil conscious. You get to worshiping God after a while, you're going to feel Him. And even if I don't feel Him, I'm going to worship Him anyhow. I worship Him by faith. I'm not living for Him on feelings. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read something that Vernon Brown said. He said, if we are exempt from disease, if our bodies are never stabbed by pain, if we always have money in our pockets, our reserve in the bank, if we live in modern homes and enjoy the latest luxuries, if we can dress well and take long vacations at the seashore, that we consider good. Unfortunately, we find ourselves victimized by a materialistic civilization. And despite our Christian faith, we subtly equate comfort and goodness. In the same way, we tend to equate success with goodness. Or yet again, we tend to equate pleasure with goodness. And because all of these are false equations, we have trouble with Romans 8:28. Our failure to grasp Paul's conception of the good changes what ought to be a soft pillow for our heart into a hard problem for our heads. All things work together for the good. Good! What's good? Money in my pocket. And that is good. Reserve in the bank. Nice modern luxuries. And all of that is nice. And there's nothing wrong with all of that. But I've known of people who were just as sad and lonely and heartbroken as they could be. And they had all of that. And I've gone to the houses of those that when you walked in, you had to be careful you didn't fall through a hole. And yet they came to the door with a smile on their face. And when you walked in, you could feel a spirit of love. Because they did not look at the good at just materialistic gain. Now, you find in the book of Judges, a man by the name of Gideon. Now, the Midianites had come against them, and they were really giving Israel fits. And here is Gideon. The Bible calls him a mighty man of valor. Listen to what happened in Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, pertaining to Joash, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, brother, they were in trouble. Those Midianites would come get all of their wheat and take all of this stuff away from them. They were giving them fits. Now, here Gideon is. He's threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." You know, it looked like he would have kind of, yes, here I am. You know. But now listen to what Gideon said. And Gideon said unto him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all of this befallen us?" Isn't that just like us human beings? The angel said, "Thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you." How many have ever seen an angel? You ever had an angel talk to you? You believe you'd have been convinced if an angel talked to you? I thought one time I really wanted to see an angel. I was praying one time in a church. They'd been told me about all kind of spooks and demons and everything else back when I first started evangelizing. That they had seen, heard in that church. I went in one day to pray. I was up in the choir loft praying, talking to God. I never heard anybody come up behind me. I was praying. Somebody touched me on the shoulder. I really prayed. Yeah, I got in the spirit real quick. I was just hoping it was an angel. When I looked around, it was just secretary of the church. I said, please don't do that anymore. But here an angel is standing by him and said, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. Brother, if that happened to us, we'd probably jump up and say, whoo, whoo, whoo. What did he do? He said, oh Lord, if the Lord is with me, why is all of this happening around here? Couldn't see God in any of it. And so many times, that's the way we are. The pastor says, church, God's with us. God loves us. If we're not careful, we'll say, well, if He does, and if He is with us, why all of this? Sometimes we are so blind that we can't see God working out His plan in us. I guess one of the best examples of this is found in John chapter 11. You know, Jesus Christ was misunderstood so much. Here you find Him receiving a message. The message was this: He whom thou lovest is sick. The man's name was Lazarus. He had two sisters. One name was Martha. The other name was Mary. And when Jesus got the message that Lazarus was sick, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Listen to the calmness of this man Jesus. You know, first thing we get the words, somebody real sick. We say, pack the suitcase. Go get gas in the... That's our human nature, I guess. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's going to be for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And the very next verse says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Loved him. Well, now, Jesus, it looks like if you loved Him as much as you say you do, you'd be getting on a donkey and headed out to Lazarus' house. You sure you love Him? He abode there 2 days. You see, people misunderstood Him. And then, after that, the Bible said, He said, let us go into Judea again. And His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews have laid salt to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Oh, brother, here they are. Now, you know what those Jews are trying to do. They were going in hysterics. What do you mean you're going back to Judea? And of course, Jesus began to talk to him about what was going on here. Finally, He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And His disciples said, well, if he's asleep, then he's doing well. They misunderstood Him again. So He had to get right down on their level and say, Lazarus is dead. And listen to what He said. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. You love it? And here you are saying, I'm glad for your sakes, no one even there. Now, can you see Martha and Mary? They've already buried their brother. And if they'd have got a message saying, Jesus said to tell you He loved you. Loves us. We sent the message in plenty of time for Him to be back here before our brother passed away. What is He doing? He's just staying where He's at. Just teaching, preaching, having church. But now He told me to tell you, He loves you. Thinks a lot of you. Thinking about you. So here they come. And the message came to Martha that Jesus was coming. Brother, she put it in high gear and headed out to where Jesus was. And she met him and said unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Oh, and I guess it's just human nature. You know, I don't look down at Martha because she was upset. She lost her brother. Oh, Martha and Mary could not see God in all of this. She said, if you'd have been here a few days ago, my brother would not have died. Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection, the last. It's the God of right now. Not I was, not I'm going to be, but I am. The resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then when Mary heard about Jesus coming, she ran to where he was at and fell down at his feet saying, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Jesus wept. Where have you put him? He took him to the tomb. And you know the story. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And the Bible said that many believed on him. Mary and Martha could not understand it. And even his disciples, if you love them the way you say you do, why are you staying here? Let me say to you tonight, church, don't be deceived by seemingly indifference. I mean, it looked like that he was indifferent about it. It was as though he didn't even care. Here he is, Lazarus dying, and Jesus, the one that could heal, would not even come. Don't be deceived by seemingly indifference. If you don't get the answer to your prayer today, pray tomorrow. And if you don't get it tomorrow, pray it day after tomorrow. And if you don't get an answer from God, pray again. Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't get their prayer answered until they were so old, until he had quit praying the prayer. He went in the temple to offer up incense, and the angel said, thy prayer hath been heard. Yes. What prayer? Was it the prayer he was just praying? It couldn't have been. Zechariah was not praying for a youngin. He done got so old and his wife got so old. They weren't going to have any youngins. That prayer had ceased to come from his lips. But they had prayed it years before. Give us a child. Give us a child. But God was in that, my friend. Because there was going to be born a man that was going to shake the people of his day, named John the Baptist. I believe God hears our prayers. You may not get your answer today, but God still hears your prayers. And He knows exactly what we are in need of when we need it. And He's never too late. In the book of Matthew, there is a beautiful story. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out to the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. Our Lord Jesus, that merciful, loving, kind, all-powerful Lord, here is a woman in need. And the Bible said, He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Can you worship God when you don't feel a thing? Can you worship God in the midst of all of your troubles and trials? Look at this little Syrophoenician woman. She came even after He did not speak one word to her. Ignored her. Seemed indifferent about it. She came and fell down and worshiped Him and said, "Help me." You know, looks like Jesus would have really, really been touched and had mercy. Now, what did He do? He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Mama, Jesus speaking like that? Calling her a dog? Could you still worship Him if He called you one? The preacher hurt my feelings tonight. Bless God, I ain't going back anymore. Didn't even shake my hand tonight. You see if I pay my tithes next week. Jesus called her a dog, and yet she stayed right there. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Ooh, and when Jesus heard this, He said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, do you see her attitude? Even when He seemed to ignore her, not even speak one word, and then say, "I've not come to you dogs. I'm not going to give the children bread to dogs." Insulted her. Yet she worshipped. And there was something about her faith that touched His heart. Oh, her attitude in the time of all of this made way for her answer. I want you to know our attitude is very important in the time of trial and test and trouble. In the book of John, chapter 9, here's another thing that if we're not careful will hinder us. There is the story of the blind man that our Lord and His disciples passed one day. The disciples said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" Jesus said, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Do you get what I'm saying? God was in it. And so, Jesus Christ, here the man is blind. Jesus walks over to him. Now, He had the power to say, "Be healed." And the man's eyes could have been opened. He had the power not to even touch him. He didn't touch Bartimaeus. He just said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." His eyes were open. Woo-hoo! Look what Jesus does. He spits in the dirt, picks it all together, picks the clay up. And everybody said, "The poor fellow's blind like it is. And now you're putting mud in his eyes." Oh, here we are trying to have a move of God. Here we are trying to have a great revival and everybody's getting sick. That ever happen around here? We just started revival 3 weeks ago. Still in it. Just taking a week off. Start back up Sunday. Brother, the first week, it seemed like everybody's getting sick. I wonder, is your faith prepared for anything to happen? When you start believing God for a great outpouring of His Spirit, great growth in your church, and a mighty outpouring end time revival, get ready. There are going to be some complications. It looks like Jesus complicated the matter a little bit. The man was blind. They ain't put mud in his eyes. Now listen to this if you think that's something. He said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." The man's blind. Got mud in his eyes. Now he said, "Go wash." Didn't even have one of his disciples to lead the poor guy. Huh. Now those that saw that prophet stood back and said, now, what's going on? Complicating the matter a little bit. But brother, that old poor blind man, when he went and washed in the pool of Siloam, and he came back seeing, he stirred up some things, I want you to know. He stirred up a bunch of hornet nests. And God knows what He's doing. You hear me? God knows what He's doing. All things work together for the good to them that love God and that are called according to His purpose. Sure, there are going to be complications. Look at Paul and Silas. Trying to have a move of God. Trying to shake the city. Trying to have revival. What happened? They got thrown in prison. Now, Lord, we're Your servants. We're Your preachers. We're trying to have a Holy Ghost revival. We're trying to have a move of God. Here we are. Bound, beaten, tired, sick, hurt, hungry. Right in the midst of revival, people lose their jobs. Get fired. Business gets bad. If you're not careful, you... No. God's got it all in control. All things work together for good. And here they are, two apostolic preachers trying to have revival, should be out on the streets preaching, and they're in jail. Is your faith prepared for your pastor to go to jail to have revival? Whew. Now, they could have been justified, I guess, according to our standards, to moan and groan and gripe and complain. Two apostolic preachers trying to have revivals, trying to see a move of God, wanting to win souls to God. Here they are, beaten, put in jail. What'd they do? Sit around and complain to one another what they're going through? How you feel over there, Silas? Silas says, All I wanted was a revival. All I wanted was a move of God. They could have sat there in the mullet groves and complained and grumbled and griped and never got anywhere. But somehow I believe that Paul and Silas saw God in it. And that's the reason at midnight they could start praying and singing. Oh, when you see God in it, brother, you can do some unusual things. And they got to singing and a praising God. God caused an earthquake to shake the old jailhouse. And jailhouse bars swung open wide. And here comes the jailer. Pulls out his sword, going to kill himself. Paul said, wait, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. God's in this thing. Everything's all right. Don't get worried. Don't do anything drastic. Everything's all right. The jailer, his whole house, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. All because God was in it. Sometimes we think just because complications come and just because problems and because this situation is that, oh, it's the devil. God's not in it. How do you know? He may be allowing these things to happen that more glory and honor will be given to Him. Now it brings me to my last character that we read about in our scripture reading. His name is Joseph. Joseph was a very unusual man. He was a dreamer. Thank God for dreamers. And if you kill the dreamers, you're going to starve to death. And I want to declare to this church right now, you have sitting on this platform a dreamer. And if you'll follow Him, you're going to see some dreams come to pass. Joseph was a dreamer. And it took years for his dreams to come to pass. But they came. But all the road that Joseph had to travel before those dreams came to pass. He dreamed the dreams. His brothers hated him because of it. He was misunderstood. Here he is in Genesis chapter 37, being sold to the Ishmaelites, who in turn sold him to Potiphar in Egypt. And the Bible said that the Lord was with Joseph. Everybody say, the Lord was with Joseph. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. I want to declare it today. I want to encourage this church, but I also want to encourage your pastor. The Lord is with him. The Lord has been with Brother Shirley, and the Lord is with him now. Joseph, here he is, over the house of Potiphar. Everything's going good. Then because of Potiphar's wife and her lie, Joseph was cast into prison. Oh, just when things were going good, I'm in prison. Now, if Joseph would have allowed himself, he could have become discouraged because of what was happening. But now the Bible tells us the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And while he was there, the baker and the butler of Pharaoh, they had a dream. Joseph interpreted their dreams, and it came to pass. The baker was killed. The butler was restored back to his position. And Joseph said, now, remember me when you get up there. Remember. And the Bible said that the butler forgot Joseph. How could God be in this thing? Here I've done nothing but good. I've tried to be right. I've tried to be true to God. And now, a man that I was a friend to forgot me. Have you ever felt forgotten? Look like God's 1,000 miles away. But hold on, look at the rest of the story. Watch God's hand begin to work out His plan. Pharaoh had a dream. His men couldn't interpret the dreams. So finally that butler said, Oh, I believe, you know what happened? I believe God reached down when that old butler left the prison and turned a little key in here to his memory, and he forgot Joseph ever lived. But when God's time came, he reached down and that butler said, where's Joseph? And when he found out the king needed an interpreter to dream, he said, I know a man. Joseph was sent far. He shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came to Pharaoh and told him the interpretation of his dream and said, there's going to be 7 years of plenty in the land of Egypt, but following the 7 years of plenty, there's going to be 7 years of famine. And he gave Pharaoh a plan. He said, now, through these 7 years of plenty, you better have food stored up to take us over the 7 years of famine. And the Bible said this thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of the servants. And Pharaoh set Joseph next to him. He said, now, I've got authority over you on the throne, but now you're the ruler of the land of Egypt. When people come here wanting anything, they got to come bow down to you. Here he is, pit, Potiphar's house, prison, now to the throne. A life of up and down. Problems, trials, and tests. But now I want you to notice something. After he was made ruler over the land of Egypt, 7 years of plenty, then the 7 years of famine came. Chapter 42 of Genesis, notice this. Joseph's 10 brethren came down to buy corn in Egypt, and they bowed down before Joseph. A dream that he dreamed years before was finally coming to pass. I don't know, maybe Joseph thought that his dreams was going to come to pass in his own country, in his own land, around his own house. Joseph never dreamed that the dream that he had was going to come to pass way down the road through a lot of hard bumps and trials and tests. But the Bible said God was with Joseph. God was in the middle of these things that were happening. And I think this is so beautiful. In the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out for me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. He kept himself unknown to them until he couldn't any longer. And he said, "I got to tell them who I am." And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt." Now notice this. "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God," everybody say, "for God. For God did send me before you to preserve life." God did all of this. "And God sent me before you to preserve you as posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Whew. It's finally unfolding. You thought you were going to destroy me. You thought my dreams were over. And they may have crossed in Joseph's mind at times. Where are my dreams? What about all that dreaming? But you didn't do it. He said, "God sent me down here. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." And I read to you in chapter 50 of Genesis where Joseph said, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." I'm not a prophet, nor son of a prophet. But I'm going to tell you, could it be, and I thought of this today as I was driving here from Jackson. Brother Shirdy shared with me months ago his dreams. I sat in with him in his office, in his home. I've sat with him in an automobile. I've sat with him at restaurants. And he's told me his dreams. He saw great things happen in Augusta. But I'm here to tell you, not all of his dreams have come to pass yet. Purdy, their family, they have gone through things that they would have never dreamed that they would go through. Could it be, Brother Shirdy, that down the road that has come to West Monroe, Louisiana, that those dreams that you shared with me months ago will begin to unfold? And it's then that you can see God in everything that's happened. Could it be that this church is going to be blessed by a man that stayed true to God through situations and trouble and problems and come to this church still a dreamer with his faith in God, with his trust in the Lord? To see dreams come to pass. Could it be? I don't know a lot about this church. I don't know everything that you've gone through in the past. I'm sure that you have faced things in the past that you may not have understood why. Why has all of this happened? We prayed. We fasted. We tried to live for God. We tried to build. We tried to do this. Why are these things happening? Could it be that in God's way, He was working out His plan. And this church could be on the verge of dreams being fulfilled that some of you have had for a long time. God is in it. God has got this thing under control. Oh no, King, you don't have charge of the situation with Daniel. Oh no, all of you fellows that cooked up this idea to get rid of Daniel, you don't have this thing under control. You might make up all of these decrees and have the king to sign it, but I'm here to tell you, the king does not have control of this. You principals don't have control of this. And I found out the lions didn't have control of it either. God had this thing in His hand. You hear me? God had it in His hand. Daniel did not have control of it. He went to the lion's den with God in the middle of everything that was going on. And that's the reason when the king said, "Oh, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you?" He said, "Oh, king, live forever. Live forever. Our God has sent His angels and locked the jaws of these lions. God's got this thing under control." I don't know. I don't understand everything that I've had to go through in this life. I'm here to tell you, I've been through some things even since I've been in Savannah, Georgia. There have been times I wanted to sit down and cry, "Oh God, why?" I don't understand it. But then again, that conviction hits me again. All things work together for good. Amen. To them that love God and that are the called according to His purpose. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know how long I preach tonight. I've got 10:16. I'm glad we're using your time. I'm an hour ahead of y'all. So I'll see you in the rapture. We'll look back and gather y'all. But would you be willing to give me just a few more minutes? I may not come back for another week or two. I just like what I'm feeling. Oh, you musicians, if you feel comfortable sitting where you're at, go ahead. But give me just a few more minutes. Everybody going to give me a few more minutes. Say, "Praise the Lord." I believe God wants to talk to us. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul.
He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How could David say that? It's because he said, Thou art with me. Can I paint you a picture of the 23rd Psalms? How many have ever seen a picture painted of the 23rd Psalms? If you've never had this presented to you, or if you have, just act like you haven't. But I want to paint you a picture. I want you to know God is with you. God is in your midst. And God is with your dreamer, your shepherd. And there is no telling what God will do for this church. If you can get a hold of what I'm trying to say to you here tonight. I want to paint you a picture that maybe you'll never forget. Brother Shirley, come here. This is my shepherd. I'm going to use him. Now, we know that God is the chief shepherd. But this is the shepherd that God has placed over this flock. This is the leader. This is the man to follow. I don't care what Mimo and Peppo and Mom and Daddy says. This is the man that you're to follow. This is the man that God has placed over you. You're not to follow some radio preacher and send a portion of your tithe. This is your leader. This is your leader. This is the shepherd that God has placed over you. This man's not going to lead you wrong. This man has principle. This man has ministerial ethics. I know him. This man's going to lead this church right. But David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Brother Shirley, I want you to be my shepherd. David said, He leadeth me. I want you to lead me around wherever you want to lead me. And wind up back here. Okay? Now, we didn't plan this. So be patient. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to show you something. All right?
I'm going to follow. You just leave. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. God knows what you need to eat. And He knows where you need to drink. But you got to follow your shepherd. You get in trouble when you don't follow the shepherd.
As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? My shepherd's with me. If the devil could try to get some of you to think that God has forsaken you, that God is far away, God doesn't care, He's indifferent to your cry, that's what He wants. I'm here to tell you, God hears your prayer. God knows where you live. God is leading you and guiding and directing your paths. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Now he said, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Come here, Brother Kelly. Brother, I don't know your name, but I like the way you sing. Come up here and help me. Y'all come get on either side of me. Brother Shirley, you stay out here. You're my leader. That's it. Y'all just going to have to watch your step. Now, look at this. There's my shepherd. He said, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me.
What do you want to be? You want to be the rod or the staff? Let's make you the staff. And here's my rod. What is the rod used for? When that shepherd is out tending those sheep, some wild beast comes around. He takes his rod and beats them away. I want you to know when the enemy comes against me, all I got to do is stand back and say, "Get him, rod." Get him, rod. And I want you to know he can take care of him. The battle is not mine. It belongs to God. What is the staff for? You know, it's got that crook on the end. You know, the sheep looks, grass looks greener on the other side. I think I'm going to go over there. And that old staff reaches out and grabs him and says, "No, you grab me." And says, "Get back in line here, son." And here you are going again. And then you say, "I think I like that over there." And he puts you back in line again. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And that rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Found something else. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow. Brother Shirley, I need a man that's merciful and a man that's good. Keep me out. Do it. Brother Stevens, are you good or merciful? Good. Okay. His wife must be here. Okay. Where is mercy? Brother who? Brother Bo. Come on, Brother Bo. Here comes mercy. I got my rod here, staff here, my shepherd in front of me. Goodness and mercy, y'all follow. Let's go. And mercy following you. I want you to know you're surrounded by the goodness of God. You're surrounded by the glory and the power of God. In the midst of your valleys, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your trouble, look at it. You're surrounded. You're surrounded. I'm going to say this, and organist, you can get on now. Look at this. There is only one way out of here, and that's straight up. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, why should I worry? Why should I fret? My God has never failed me yet. When I get down to my last dime, He steps in and He's right on time. I'm standing on a firm foundation. Just a little love and determination. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. And God is with us. If you believe it, stand and lift your hands and praise Him right now. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. And on that day, we're going to look back. And we're going to see that long road. We're going to see the trials, the tests, the trouble, the heartaches, the pain, the tragedies, the loss. And we're going to understand God was in it.
Yes, yes, yes.
I couldn't understand it at the time. And it was hard to accept it at the time. But when I look back, God was in it. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I can make it as long as I know that He's in it. Let come what may, I'm going through. I started out and I'm going to finish this race that I have begun. Hallelujah. Though rough the road, though steep the climb, still I'm going on through. Why? Because God is in it. Sing it. God is in it.
I started one day to follow Jesus, not caring for worldly fame. Though sometimes it seemed that I couldn't make it, my head hung down in shame. The world around me was offering its glitter, trying to dim my view. But I started out and I'm gonna finish this race I have begun. Oh, though rough the road, though steep the climb, still I'm going right on. Though the rivers I cross, they may be so deep that it seems all hope is gone. Though the clouds hang low, thunder may roll, still I'm pressing on. For I started out, and I'm gonna finish this race I have begun. Oh, though rough the road, though steep the climb, still I'm a-going right on. Though the rivers I cross, they may be so deep that it seems all hope is gone. Though the clouds hang low, thunder may roll, still I'm pressing on. For I started out, and I'm gonna finish this race I have begun. Now as it is written, surely I've found strength to carry on. For just when I needed a friend to guide, I felt His hand holding mine. No rivers too wide, no mountains too high that I can't overcome. For I started out, and I'm gonna finish this race I have begun. Oh, though rough the road, though steep the climb, still I'm a-going right on. Though the rivers I cross, they may be so deep, till it seems all hope is gone. Though the clouds hang low, the thunder may roll, still I'm pressing on. For I started out, and I'm gonna finish this race I have begun. Oh, though rough the road, though steep the climb, still I'm a-going right on. Though the rivers I cross, they may be so deep till it seems all hope is gone. Though the clouds hang low, thunder may roll, still I'm pressing on. For I started out, and I'm gonna finish this race
I have begun. Though rough the road, though steep the climb, still I'm a-going right on. Though the rivers I cross, they may be so deep, till it seems all hope is gone. Though the clouds hang low, the thunder may roll, still I'm pressing on. For I started out, and I'm gonna finish this race. I have been.